What do we got? I got 6 o'clock.
We just have to do it with a little tap.
Just turn.
Yeah, a little more.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight to the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee, October the 3rd, 2016. The time is now 6 p.m. Will everyone rise for a pledge to our flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Mary, would you call the roll, please?
Legislator Berkey?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Lapp?
Here.
Legislator Litt?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Chairman Maloney?
Here. Thank you, Mary. Everyone was received via email the minutes of our September 6th meeting. Are there any corrections, deletions, additions, comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
Second.
Second. Motion. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Getting right into the resolutions. Resolution 403, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a second supplemental agreement and any amendments thereto with the City of New York and the West of the Hudson stakeholders, modifying the 2010 water supply permit, thereby enabling the City of New York to fund the City of New York flood buyout program as provided for in the filtration avoidance determination midterm revisions with fewer restrictions in participating municipalities. Department of Planning.
We'll move it for discussion.
Is there second. A second? Herb, thank you. Dennis, briefly. This is
My apologies for the committee. I know this was on last month. I was double booked. I had to be down in Shongum to see what we had down there. I apologize for that. Very shortly, what this does is effectively provide for the ability for DEP to acquire land in the watershed that they can't normally acquire. And provide funding for it. It has to do with the updating the FAD, which provides about $15 million to do this. There's a restriction in the MOA, which is the Memorandum of Agreement between the city and the Catskill Watershed towns, that do not allow this to occur. This will allow it to occur, A. And B is it provides for additional supplementary work to be done to sort of deal with some of the issues that have been facing these towns for a while in terms of the way that the city is enforcing certain provisions of their watershed rules and regulations. There has been a substantial amount of ongoing negotiations to get to this. All of the towns in Ulster County support the work, and the county as a signer to the MOA is essentially being asked to also sign on to this to allow this to occur.
Very good. So this will also allow for the purchase of how many homes up that way?
Well,
about 30 plus.
There's $15 million available. We don't have any of the homes quote identified as yet. I can under the FEMA program. Recall the FEMA program. There was this reason. This is the second supplemental agreement. Is there was a first supplemental agreement because DEP provided the 25% match under the FEMA program. So there was a first supplemental agreement to allow them to do that. In the town of Shandaken alone, there's between 20 and 30 houses that are being bought out under that program, and DEP is providing that 25% match. This is entirely DEP funds. This will not have any federal funds matched to the entire City of New York funds.
Very good. Any questions for Dennis? Hector?
Okay. First off, Dennis, I don't appreciate that you did this to poor Jim Maloney. I figured you could have found a more succinct way to say what all this is, resulting in the death of an additional page. So the one overarching question just is, while I realize, number one, of course, I think we all, or many of us, support, not going down the road of filtration for New York City water, and clearly this is an amendment of a pre-existing agreement, but are we going down a slippery slope, meaning by passing this, that we now are going to see DEP and on others sort of encroaching on other lands?
No, it's just the opposite. What this does is it gives additional flexibility within the watershed to use DEP monies to do flood buyouts, and along with that, the program rules that are coming along with that will also provide for relocation expenses to certain key businesses. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And it also does...
Do we have that already, by the way? Or no?
I'm sorry?
Do we have that already on file?
Yes, the agreement is on file.
Okay.
The other thing is it does, it deals with some of the more egregious things that the folks that deal with DEP on a daily basis have been complaining about. And so there's a good faith discussion within this contract that allows the communities to get together with DEP and discuss some of the things that are of some concern. Some of that has to do with interpretation of what the rules are, particularly with respect to the septic program that's out there. Some of them have to do with the need for variances, et cetera. There's been a continuing discussion in the watershed that DEP's position is a bit hard-nosed. And so this sort of tries to soften that. And there's been ongoing meetings about the septic supplemental agreement now for about 4 or 5 months. There's been ongoing meetings in terms of what the flood buyout program will be from the city of New York for almost a year.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Any other questions for Dennis from anyone? Hearing none. Is a motion? Sorry, legislator DeLong.
Absolutely not. This is willing seller, willing buyer. And the towns have to agree to participate. So there's three check-offs. One is the towns have to agree, the seller has to agree, and the DEP has to determine that there's a water quality benefit.
Very good. Any other questions? Hearing none, there is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 426, opposing the detrimental trade policies included in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement.
Okay, I'll move it.
This moved and seconded by legislators Rodriguez and Berkey. Do we have this? Anybody to speak on this? I mean, I know it's a memorializing resolution. Is Manna here?
I thought she was over at help, but she's actually not.
Okay. I fully understand but without it really, you know, what is in that agreement? I'm sure it's not two pages.
Well, it's more of a statement, I think, both on TPP, but also in terms of the principles with regards to any trade agreements. And of course, those things have local effects. I mean, anybody, as you know, in this county, we still have local manufacturing. Not a lot.
No, but I'd like to fully hear. I'm not saying I'm against it. Okay, I more than likely will support it, but I would like to get more information.
Okay, just so that way I can get back to this bunch. So what are you looking for?
Just what are they getting at? What's their point? Where they want to go with it?
It's in the back.
No, I understand, but I want to, what are the detrimental effects, or what may appear to be a detrimental effect, maybe even a bigger detrimental effect? That's what I want. I want somebody here to tell me why this is here.
Okay, I mean, I'm not here to go speak on behalf of either Manna or Tracy, but, and I'm sure, actually, I think if they were told to come here, I'm sure they probably would have. That said, I mean, in terms of what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is, I mean, number one, it's a trade agreement with, I think, what,
12,
13, something, number of countries. If memory serves, and again, this is just...
And this trade agreement's already been passed?
No.
No.
No, that's actually why this is in.
Okay.
So
yeah, I mean, it's opposed by both presidential candidates ostensibly, and most people see it as detrimental to
okay,
the US
I just
economy.
Like somebody.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a big debate right now in the community about it because the candidates are both trying to win the votes of local job losers. So I think the idea is simply to have communities voice their agreement with that idea.
Okay.
I think there's a certain amount of protectionism involved with that, and obviously this is a bigger discussion, so I think it is worth a bigger discussion, but I support the
No, I understand. I'm not saying I don't support it, but yeah. I just would
so
like to have somebody here to speak on it. Can we put it off till next week?
Till next week? I mean, are we going to meet?
Till caucus, you mean?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, I mean, I'm okay. If we're going to have another quick meeting like on this specifically,
absolutely.
Sure, but I don't mind postponing 1 week.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
I'll move to postpone it 1 week until our next caucus, which is the, is that Thursday or?
13th,
whatever that day happens.
We will make it work, Hector.
Beautiful. Okay.
So, you motioned to
I move.
Second. All those in favor of postponing 1 week?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 427, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and Barton and LaJudas Department of Planning.
Move for discussion.
Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Legislator DeLong.
Can I ask why it says other and not county?
By the...
It should say county, shouldn't it?
Where are you reading?
In the little tiny print, it says 100% other, but it really should be county because it's...
Oh, it's DEP money.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming right out of the DEP.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Description of the project?
The contract amendment just adds the engineering and design for the Boyceville Bridge back into the Ashokan Rail Trail project. We had excluded that originally because we had hoped with the pending FEMA funds that we would be a year ahead of the trail, and FEMA took more than a year to get back to us. And I'll talk more about it at the Wednesday committee as well, Chairman, but basically what they said is that bridge was in such bad shape when it fell, we are not providing a full replacement cost of a rail trestle. What we need you to do is get your engineer to basically figure out what the depreciated value of the structure that did fail is. Mm-hmm. So we may not get the full replacement cost, which is estimated as much as $4.5 to $5 million, but we will get hopefully something if the engineers can prove that there was some utility value. And fortunately, we did have photos of CMRR's equipment going across it in 2010, so we can at least say it was usable from a work perspective.
Okay, very good.
And this is already in the approved capital project. We had saved, you know, just about this amount on the design, so we're consistent with that.
Very good. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you. So when it says anticipated letting date February 2017, track removal and trail construction, so that's just with regards to the physical removal of the trestle out of the that area of the reservoir?
Letting date is a best case scenario of putting it out to bid. And when we put it out to bid, we're going to be removing the track. So when we would come for construction, we would ask your authorization to remove the track. We know that the current policy under 488 is that any removal of track requires legislative approval. As does the capital project amendment that we would bring forward.
So
what we're trying to do, again, the bridge, there are pieces of the bridge that are still in the Esopus. Mm-hmm. We are going to remove those. There are two girders that have floated downstream. There's two piers that are smashed. There's other various pieces that are still hanging on, and the tracks are warped and going right into the creek. So as part of the eventual scope, we would have to remove that as well.
Okay.
So how is this worded?
And this is a section that is designated as trail.
Trail, right. Yeah. It's within the 11.5 miles that's subject to the New York City DEP agreement, which is why the funding is coming from DEP.
And Herb, I'm talking about on the contract on mm-hmm. page 2, section 1, general.
Okay.
So, 1.01.
Hector, what this does is it builds on the base contract. Mm-hmm. So the items that you look at are in, it's basically the added scope to the contract. That letting date was in the original contract.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing we changed is the date of the public meeting, which we're hoping to do in November. And I'm trying to get a facility to do that at.
Very good.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Chris.
As long as it's not misconstrued that by passing this, we're allowing them to take the track up.
Right.
Exactly.
No, we're really clear about that.
Okay.
And that, I don't know where that buzz is coming from, but I can guess.
Anytime you hear the word track.
Yeah.
So. All right. Any other discussion? Any other questions? Hearing none, this motion has been motioned and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 431, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Computer Professionals International Department of Information Services. Sylvia?
This is one of our retainer contracts that we have for the consultants that we use to augment our staff. This one in particular is used for our server infrastructure, and I put money in the budget every year to use their services. I don't always use it, but I put a certain amount in.
Have you used
it? The company in particular, I do use quite a bit.
So it has been used in this calendar year. Okay. Any questions for Sylvia? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried unanimously. Approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County and Trapeze Software Group, Inc., Department of Information Services.
Move for discussion.
Second.
Second by Legislator List and Rodriguez. Sylvia?
This is the software that's used by Area Transit to do their bus routes. And they have inside their buses mobile data terminals so that they can track when people come in and out of the bus. And they also use it for, you know, scheduled pickups. And the terminals were purchased about 8 years ago. And they're running out of, you know, they're reaching end of life, and it's hard to get replacement parts for them. So rather than purchase this new mobile data terminal, which would cost $101,000 for 33 of them, we're going to be using tablets in the buses. So we'll mount the tablets in each of the buses, and they will do all of their check-ins, check-outs, check their routes, report their timings right from the iPad. They're not going to be iPads, they're going to be Windows tablets. So if we've replaced a potential outlay of $101,000 and a $10,250 per year maintenance agreement to the tablets, which we got for 99 cents each through a special promotion, and a $7,440 per year for cellular service.
Mm-hmm.
And if something goes wrong with a tablet, it's
right. Quite a savings.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you saying? I'm sorry, just to clarify, you said 62,000 something, but you're saying 101, so there's going to be more to come? Or I'm just
no. The 101 would have been.
She
saved like 40,000 by doing it this way.
Okay.
But
plus the annual recurring, you saved 3,000 there.
Okay.
Ken?
Remember the committee noticed, we have a smartphone application so that a user can track the bus movements on the system. Down in the Kingston Plaza, we have a new terminal set up where a user without a smartphone can look on the screen and find their bus and know where they're going.
It's like a Uber thing.
Yeah, come there to trial run and they work there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Very good. Any question, Hector?
Thank you. So, Sylvia, so the 62,000 is that's per year?
Let's see. What that is it also includes the annual maintenance for the trapping software itself. So it includes that maintenance for the software plus the apps for the tablets.
Paying $62,000 for them to put the apps on these iPads and for maintaining the program, and that's all. That's 1 year, $62,000.
That is for the whole Trapeze application. This is one little part of the application. The application also does the bus routing and scheduling and all the other functions.
Okay, because I'm just looking at the agreement. It says not to exceed $735,100, and that's
what it is per year.
So that's $62,000 is per year, right?
Correct.
I'm not gonna vote no on it. It's just trouble.
I want your questions answered.
No, no.
What are you thinking?
No. It just again, without actually seeing it, and that'll just basically be on me to go maybe stop by UCAT. It just seems like a lot for what that is, but I'll just go stop by to go see Carol and just
it's a fully integrated system. It does dispatch, it does all the NTD mm-hmm. reporting, it does all mm-hmm. the scheduling, it does all the paratransit work.
There's GPS on the buses,
yeah,
it's not as
no, that part I know, but okay.
Right. Yeah. Is dispatch going to be able to track the buses as well?
Yes.
You know, they can do that now.
We just started.
I'll talk about the program.
Well, now I have a question. This is a proprietary system?
We purchased it from a particular vendor. Yes, it does have, it has standard interfaces. So, you know, it uses standard GPS technology, and it uses interaction APIs to other applications, so it has a lot of integration with other pieces of the software.
Trapeze is a well-known software within the transit industry.
Right.
It's used for operations, it's used for dispatch and scheduling. It comes in modules,
right.
So we have a lot of the modules.
Are there other competitors, or is this really the only choice?
Well, we did an RFP before we purchased this about 5 years ago, I think it was. Quite a while.
We shouldn't overlook the fact that this portions of this are federally funded.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Although, actually, but then why is this part, though, not? This part is...
Portions of it, I believe...
Like
Where?
I think
it may end up being... I'm sure whether if it's operating or 50-50,
if it's operating.
I'm not sure where it falls in that federal category.
Okay, because right now it says 100% county funded. I understand we could get reimbursed, I'm saying, but is, you know... And which, and more importantly, where's it coming out of?
We're looking at the 5310 funding, the 5307 money, and looking at the applications that are in that funding to see whether or not there's dollars available.
So you're talking right now, half of this is potentially reimbursable?
We got to pay for it first,
I'm okay with that.
Other questions for Sylvia? Hearing none, is motion second. Dennis, you were going to say something? All right. Thank you, Dennis. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 433, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Blue Storm Technologies, Inc.
Second.
Sylvia?
This is the second of my retainer contracts for staff augmentation. This Blue Storm is the vendor that we're using to commission the lower snow system and switch over to the Office 365 platform for email and collaboration. So they'll probably after, I only put $15,000 on here, so probably after the beginning of next year, that'll be the end of my service.
Okay. Any questions for Sylvia? Hearing none, all those
Mr. Director. So Sylvia, so this is going to be taking place till December 31st, 2017, looks like is the term of the overall contract?
Contract is for a year.
It's going to take us a year to gravitate over to 365?
No, we'll be done by the end of this year.
Okay.
The timing is just an annual, you know, there's an annual routine agreement that we put in, but we're free to cancel at any time, there's no obligation to us at all.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Okay. Resolution number 434, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amount contract to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with, what is that? Essex Technology Group, Inc. Sylvia?
Second.
Third of my retainer agreement. This vendor I use to maintain the operating systems for the servers that are used for the sheriff's department. They're on mid-range computers, and Essex Technology is skilled in upgrading those systems.
Just when you say mid-range, what is
it? It's IBM iSeries, they have 400.
Okay.
I don't know what company. They changed the name of it three times in the last 5 years. So it's either a System I, a iSeries, okay, or an AS400.
Any question? Hector.
Thank you. So Sylvia, so do we have such specialized equipment over at the sheriff's office that we need a $15,000 contract?
And again, this is only used as needed, but yes, it is specialized equipment, and it actually will be replaced either next year or the year after with their enterprise agreement, and it will be migrated to a more industry standard platform, so we won't use this special skills anymore.
Okay.
There you go. Any other questions for Sylvia? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 437, appointing a member to the Ulster County Planning Board from the Village of Ellenville.
No.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Who is the lucky person?
Johanna Widner.
What's her name?
Johanna Widner.
Very
Joanna
good.
Widner.
Very good.
Do we know if he likes tennis or not?
That's
everybody loves tennis.
No, I'm just saying. But that's not always true.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We have a local resolution support. Okay, so carried unanimously. Resolution number 438, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a cost reimbursement agreement with SUNY New Paltz Student Association to provide public transit service for the New Paltz area.
I move it.
Department of Public TUCAD. Dennis?
And I'll second it.
And Mr.
Of course you will.
This is just an extension of the agreement to provide weekend service from the college. So that's why it's with the Student Association.
Very good. We want to keep this moving.
The loop, the loop is, in fact, our most successful program.
Mm-hmm.
What a great
thing. Keep Saturday and Sunday moving.
Love it.
All right. Any questions?
Nope.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Under old business, Hector, I haven't discussed this, but I understand you want to table this or take no action, number 170.
Well, actually, I was going to say, Mr. Chair, at this time, it probably makes more sense right now to probably table 170 and 326 at this exact time.
Legislator Donaldson
is called. We did meet and we requested some data, and we're waiting for that. Okay.
Yes, that's on 326, by the way.
And
in terms of 170, we have to go set up the time, I think, to meet with Suzanne again, which I know all of our schedules have been crazy.
Okay, I'll set that up.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, wait,
any new business?
I move to postpone both of them. And
second.
Oh, very good. Motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
New business? Anything, anybody? Dennis.
I just wanted to thank Ken was announced with the fact that we're engaged in that process with respect to the transit engagement study. The other transit study that we're at the Transportation Council is currently doing has to do with human services coordination. We're working with all the human services coordination providers such as ARC, DJ, and others in the county to take a look at where the gaps in services are and how we can best fill them. We're also looking at the sources of federal dollars to do that. There's a program called the 5310 program. There are other dollars out there as well.
We're going to come out with a series. We've been meeting with a significant number of stakeholders. We've been also meeting with the actual transit providers. We're in the sort of the recommendation phase. So one of the things that we're looking at, quite frankly, is some robust mobility management issues that can address in terms of how to do this. There's some pretty unique situations out there that probably most of us don't understand or realize. I'll give you an example. ART itself has over 150 vans and buses that are assigned to do transport within the county. That's a huge number of vehicles. ARC Gateway is similar with about 50 or 60 of those vans and buses as well. So we're looking at how we can do paratransit, how we can utilize those downtime for those vehicles, whether the agencies themselves can agree in terms of a fleet policy that they actually share buses, et cetera. What we'd like to do, quite frankly, is come back when we start those recommendations. We thought about having a public meeting, but quite frankly, the interest at the public level is not that great. But we want to meet with the various boards of the agencies that are involved to get their buy-in, and perhaps come back to this committee if it's interested to sort of present what we found with regard to that study.
Yeah, I have a lot of ARC and low income positions for the public.
And I have to say that the nonprofits have been extremely cooperative with regard to this. And let's not forget that the county has some of these programs as well, the Neighbor to Neighbor program that's out there and the veterans program that's out there as well.
When do you expect to be doing?
We're looking right now into either later October or early November. We would certainly look at when the committee meets again, and perhaps take a portion of your time if that's what you decide to do. We could actually thinking about bringing the consultants back for that and for other meetings as well. We're also trying to see whether or not we can actually get the CEOs of the larger organizations to agree to a joint board meeting, so that we have buy-in from the boards that we can start to have a real conversation about implementation.
Yeah, I would like to also know in enough time to get, for example, the resident associations that are forming right now in these housing developments and so forth.
And just be aware, some of these organizations currently receive federal dollars. I think we provided about $700,000 to ARC for transit work. About $350,000. We've also provided funding. The Transportation Council 5310 program provided 50% matching funds for operations of the Neighbor to Neighbor program, for the Office of Aging program, and for other programs at the county level. So, and you know, we did expand ADA. We've expanded our ADA participation at the county level from a half a mile, from three quarters of a mile to a mile and a half. So we're a mile and a half up. We provided funding for that as well.
Very good. Thank you, Dennis. Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes,
there is. Very good. Legislator Litz, Legislator Mayo. Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned.
9%. 9%.